Okay.
Okay, what, Thomas?
Okay, we can go now. Blow my nose.
You've blown your nose.
Hay fever, Matthew. Ugh.
You're wearing a Hawaiian shirt with flowers. It's very...
Oh, yeah.
Alluring.
I've done it to myself,
and then
haven't I?
You've made yourself sick.
The flowers. Get the flowers off me.
Ah! Tom Matter. Okay, I'm not going to comment on the intro. How are you, Thomas?
I'm not shirtless.
You're not
That's
shirtless.
That's how I am. No, I'm keeping this on.
You're clothed.
I feel a Hawaiian shirt is quite harmless to my hay fever problem.
There's a top button open. I can see a bit of your manly chest.
Oh.
It's very distracting. Sorry. Very alluring. Didn't think of you that
I'm
way, Thomas. I'm a bit confused.
Oh, what's that? Oh,
yeah.
You had a foot
top
underneath
button's
the table.
Up. It's all right. It's all right.
Yes. Well, welcome to the Tom Matt Attack Show. I haven't done that before, have I?
You haven't.
I've thrown that as a curveball there.
Well, I guess there may be some new listeners.
There may be some new listeners.
Interviews last week with Jonathan Smith of TT Games and Mike Bethel, the talented creator of Thomas Is Alone.
Very lucky to interview these two fellows.
Yes. Response has been positive. It was all good
yes.
and good. Record downloads. Thank you very much,
Thank
guys.
Thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed them.
Yeah, so naturally we're going to top that by rambling nonsense about what we've played and bought in the week, as is
I
the
wouldn't
third
have it
episode.
Any other way.
So what have you been playing and buying, Thomas?
Well, Matthew, I'm still into my Neo Geo Pocket Color.
Oh, really?
I love saying that. It's
we've gone full retro, I think, pretty much.
Really?
Like, we've kind of flipped. There was a period in time where we were just kind of talking mainly about modern games.
Mm.
I think both of us are in a fever for handhelds.
I think, yes, perhaps we are.
I have a fever and the new description is more Game Boy.
I've been playing a very good handheld game called Match of the Millennium SNK versus Capcom. This is the portable Capcom versus SNK.
I have played this game. The sprites are adorable.
Yeah, they were quite... The proportions of the characters are cool and it works very well on a small screen. They've got these long arms, you know, so they obviously the punches and it looks good. Sometimes 2D fights haven't fared so well on portable devices.
As I will talk about myself.
Mm. But in this instance, it's a very good game with, as you say, some very adorable sprites and some good challenge too, you know.
It's story-driven as well, from what I remember. There's cutscenes, right?
There are cutscenes in it. Like every King of Fighters game has a cutscene. You know, you get the invitation at the beginning, and then maybe you're being watched over by geese or bison. And you know, well, in this case, you are because they work together.
Yes.
And you have to fight them both at the end, which is, I think it's quite a tough fight.
Yeah.
So there is a good amount of challenge there. Nice music, good selection of characters. Some you might not have thought would pop up in there, like B.B. Hood from Darkstalkers.
Really?
He's a Capcom character in the game.
That's interesting.
Yes. Morrigan also shows up, so Darkstalkers is well represented.
That's cool.
Usual SNK characters, yeah, some Samurai Showdown ones. Top-notch game. Anyone with a Neo Geo Pocket Color should definitely pick that one up.
All five of our listeners with a Neo Geo Pocket Color. Right in. Oh, I'm glad you said that because it is one of the games on the Neo Geo Pocket I've played and quite enjoyed. A friend of mine had one when we were kids, or his brother did, and I played it there and I thought it was really good. We were actually playing King of Fighters 95 a lot of the time as well the PC. It was emulated back in the day. He had very nice Neo Geo arcade stick replicas for the PC.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it was good times. And then I was playing that and I was like, oh, this is actually really good. That's why I kind of got to appreciate the clicky-clacky stick of the Neo Geo Pocket.
Clicky-clacky stick.
Oh.
I love it.
Yeah, I've actually been playing some Street Fighter 2, talking of classic fighting games, on the Game Boy.
Ah, familiar with this version, Matthew. What do you think?
Actually, I was quite surprised at how good it was.
I've
kind of never really wanted to go near it because I thought my experience of handheld gaming fighters, I realise, is solely based on Mortal Kombat.
Mm.
I played the first version of Mortal Kombat the other day and I told you, like, it wasn't very good. And I went back to Yoshi's Cookie. But I realise now that my friend Andrew had Mortal Kombat when I was a kid and I didn't really like it. And then I played the second one, which is a lot better. I won't talk about it in depth because I'm not great at Mortal Kombat. But there were fatalities in that, and you could, as Sub-Zero, throw ice, and Scorpion could do a get over here thing, even though they wasn't selling.
Get over here! Game Boy.
Get over here! And there was even the guy who says Toasty, but he didn't say Toasty. He just popped up in the corner of the screen. But Street Fighter 2, very, very good.
Yeah. If I remember it, when I played on the Game Boy Pocket, a bit of ghosting on there.
A little bit of ghosting.
A little bit, but maybe it's better playing on an SP, for example.
I did play it on an SP. The annoying thing is, because Street Fighter is a game that involves a lot of D-padding and a lot of trying to throw fireballs and time punches and stuff, it meant that I was hitting the shoulder buttons quite a lot, which was changing the aspect ratio of the screen.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Are you getting quite into
it? I was getting quite into it. Perfected my first three fights, so the challenge is kind of there, but at the same time, it seems to be a very progressive difficulty spike in the game. My first fight against Chun-Li, I perfected with no problem. Mm. Then
Who are you playing as?
Playing as the classic Ryu.
Yes, no.
Okay. Just because I would usually play as Zagat or Akuma.
Not
Zangief.
Zangief
as well.
He is a good Zangief player, listeners.
Well, not compared to people who play in tournaments, I'm sure, but as a casual Zangief, I'm okay. But I just played Ryu because I thought obviously the moveset would probably be a bit nicer on the D-pad of the Game Boy. Obviously it's a NES D-pad, so it held up pretty well. It's good. I really enjoyed it. I haven't really got anything bad to say about it. I don't know how long the lasting appeal of the game would last if I were to have it as a child and go, wow, this is Street Fighter on the Game Boy.
It's serviceable as being Street Fighter on the Game Boy, isn't it?
Seems like a very nice port for an 8-bit version.
Fine.
Yeah, agreed.
Can't grumble with that one.
Anything else for you?
Played. Yes, of course. Of course I played other games this week. Mainly Mario Kart 8. Can't get enough of that.
What's Mario Kart 8, Tom? You'd swear that there'd been some new game from Nintendo
Mario
that everyone was going mental over.
It's the latest in the long-running series of Mario Karting games.
Is it the 8th one, by any chance?
In fact, it could be the 8th one.
Wow. Congratulations,
now,
Nintendo.
A theory why Nintendo started to number the sequels as opposed to just calling this latest one Mario Kart Wii U or the last one Mario Kart 3DS. I think it's so they can have that lovely 8 logo that looks like a racetrack.
Probably will. Probably for 9 now, they'll go back to some obscure naming thing.
Maybe they will, because I think the only reason Mario Kart 7 is 7 is so they could do 8 with the track logo.
Yeah, perhaps. Makes a lot of sense,
there's
really.
My theory, anyway. But the game is fantastic. It's great playing online as well with people. Very addictive. It's hard to put it down. We've talked enough about Mario Kart 8, I think.
It did very well in sales as well. I'm just trying to see if there's a more updated sales figure. But the first week was 1.2 million copies in 3 days. So that's pretty good going. Good.
I will say this, though, in criticism of the game, there's no headset support.
No, we did find this very annoying.
I bought a headset with the prime objective of using it for Mario Kart to play my friend Gareth.
Likewise.
Who I play weekly on Xbox usually, but we thought, well, let's give the Wii U a go. Let's do some sort of party chat, we hoped, while playing Mario Kart. No, unfortunately, it doesn't support any headset. You can just talk into the gamepad through its microphone between...
And who wants to do that?
Between races. You can't have real-time discussion over
there's no bants. There's no haha, take that blue shell, you.
Now I can see why Nintendo might restrict that for strangers. If you're playing online with strangers, it's not,
but you can only use the party chat with friends anyways.
There we go.
You can't even, is there perhaps like a slowdown issue if you talked over the races?
There can't be, surely.
I
think Nintendo could do it if they wanted to implement it. And I think what Nintendo need to do is implement a party chat system similar to Xbox Live for Wii U. It's going to get a lot more people.
Yeah, but they can't do it this generation. They went out and said a couple of months back that their focus wasn't online play this generation, which is silly because it's 2014.
Well, poo-poo Nintendo, I'm sorry, but you've got to get with the times.
Because
you expect that. As a video gamer nowadays, you expect to at least be able to chat during an online game.
Agreed.
And as far as I know, you have to correct me if I'm wrong. The only game I've seen which lets you use party chat is Call of Duty Black Ops.
Yeah.
2. Now, I assume it's the same for Ghosts as well. I assume you can use the headset with Ghosts. Are there any other games? I'm not sure. Let us know if there's anything out there that you can use the headset for.
Yeah, actually.
It seems like a pretty redundant peripheral.
It does, and that's maybe why they went so cheap when we bought them for £14 off Amazon, which is a bit of a gutter, really, because now I have a really nice headset. No, I can use it with my PS4. It's a regular jack. I'm sure it would work with an iPhone and whatever anyways.
And
I'm
it's
sure
a really comfortable headset, actually. You know,
it's a Turtle Beach. It's very good. It's officially branded Turtle Beach. Just looking here, some more on Mario Kart 8 news. Boosts Wii U hardware sales in the UK by the rather ominous 666%.
Wow. I was hoping it would do good for Nintendo. And
it did. Here in Denmark, actually, a friend of ours, Simon, was trying to get a console and he couldn't find one anywhere because they'd sold out in every shop. But I guess that was probably due to retailers not having any of them, perhaps.
As I said before, Nintendo themselves have done a very good job of releasing some great games for the system. I know it's been, I think it's been 2 years now.
Yes.
Since the console's been released. And I think the standard of games they've released in that time have been very high. And I don't think you can fault Nintendo for what they've delivered.
No, you can't. It's just, well, perhaps the console would be, in the eyes of the developers,
the console has proved through Mario Kart 8 to be a very capable console.
Oh, yeah,
though.
No, don't get me wrong. I think it is a good console, but I think from a developer's perspective, where it is a nightmare to program for, whereas the Xbox One now and PS4 are running on PC hardware, so you can essentially get three versions out of one thing. Mm. I guess it's hard to justify spending the money for some people. But I mean, Mario Kart 8 and later on the line Smash Brothers will put...
Matt's playing with a teabag.
I am playing with a teabag off screen. It soothes me. I've set it upon a Lego box, like a plinth, like an art piece. I have got a minifigure who can stand around and ponder its existence.
Wow.
Sorry. I hope that the Wii U will now increase in sales with Smash Brothers and Mario Kart 8. And hopefully that will prove to third-party developers that the Wii U is a viable platform. Yeah. And not just indies. Shovel Knight's actually coming out on the 26th of June as well. So hopefully that'll do some damage.
Yeah, they've done well with the indie games, I think, this time around, Nintendo. There's a constant, a steady release of indie games coming. Every week I check back on the Nintendo store and see a new indie game, for example, is it Gravity Badgers or Space Badgers or something.
Okay.
The other week. And there's been the Scram Kitty game, is it?
Yeah.
Which looks like quite an addictive shooter.
I'm very much looking forward to, from our good friends at Knapknock Games, Affordable Space Adventure, which looks fantastic. I'm using fantastic a lot recently, I've realised this.
It's fantastic.
Everything is fantastic. Everything is cool when you're part of the Phantasm team. I don't know.
Give that some work, Matthew.
I will. Also, for reference, Mario Kart 8 outsold both Infamous and Titanfall compared to their first week sales. So there's no numbers here, but you'll take my word for it. It's on N4G, it's probably correct. I've also been playing some other Game Boy games, I guess. There's a lot, actually. I kind of bring down a list. I bought an absolute shed load of Game Boy games in the last week or so. Just because I went out to Aarhus here in Denmark and there was a second-hand shop and it had a lot of games in it, so I bought things like Wario Land 2, Monster Max, which is a game developed by Rare, some weird Japanese Tamagotchi cart that has an internal battery to run the Tamagotchi, which is weird because I have a Tamagotchi game that is a UK one and it doesn't need that, so I don't know what the upgrade is because it seemed like pretty much the same game. But the most curious thing I picked up in this lot was a bootleg game called Sonic 3D Blast.
Yeah.
It's developed by a Taiwanese developer who is apparently notorious for pirates. Their name escapes me at the moment. I was kind of impressed on one level because it seems to get a lot out of the original Game Boy hardware.
I had a go.
Did you have a go?
I stuck it in a Game Boy and had a quick bash on it. And it is Sonic 3D Blast for the Game Gear.
Yeah?
Pretty much, which was a side-scroller as opposed to an isometric game like 3D last was on the Mega Drive. But it doesn't have Knuckles in, which the Game Gear version does. It lets you choose between the two characters. But Sonic felt sloppy as hell.
He does.
You know, something up.
In comparison to other Game Boy games, Sonic was never going to feel fast, I don't think. I don't think any Game Boy games really capture speed. Like, I was playing Super RC Pro. Is that the title? The Rare developed RC game? And
RC Pro AM on the NES,
it's called. That's the boy. While it's a good game, and obviously it runs, like, you get no feeling of speed with the cars. Like, there's never really, yes, it goes a bit nippy, but it's never as fast as something like a Super Nintendo or whatever.
What about
the processing power?
Speedy Gonzales on the Game Boy.
I think Speedy Gonzales plays the same as Sonic.
Mm.
I think the speed of the sprite is kind of limited by the very, very small processor in the Game Boy. Obviously, there's loads of things like the screen will tear if there's more than 10 pixels in a row, and sometimes you experience that with Sonic because he's a very detailed animated sprite.
Yeah.
But I, you know, for a Game Boy game developed by someone who isn't actually Sega, I didn't think it was too bad. Like,
they've tried to squeeze an existing Game Gear game into a Game Boy game.
No, well, they've kind of...
what it appears to.
They've kind of... Did you play further than the first level?
No.
Because they've stolen levels from Sonic and Knuckles. Like, the further on I got to the fourth level, which is a chore, to say the least. And the Knights levels in there, the Knights Carnival level.
Really?
Yeah. It's actually some weird stage choice. A lot of them from Sonic and Knuckles after that first one. But doesn't really play very well. There are some serious glitches with the game in the fact that if you try and jump on a platform in any other platformer in the world, you would make it. Suddenly Sonic kind of gets a bit of rubber banding and gets pulled back. And if you land in a spike pit in this game, there's actually no way out of the spike pits. So you'll hit it once, twice and die. And then it takes you back to the start of the level.
Also,
so
notice when attacking enemies, it feels weird.
You have to hit them from above say, Mario. You can't actually... While you can go into the Sonic ball and shoot, that doesn't really serve any purpose because there's never any puzzles that use it. It's a platformer. Yeah. And, yeah, you can't hit an enemy from below even when you jump and do the disc thing because you just get hurt. Bit of a pain, but
A curious beast nonetheless, and a fun thing to add to your collection.
Agreed, yeah. It was a bit of a gamble, but I'd seen it before on the Danish website I used, DBA, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to get hold of that. So I did.
Well done.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, I think the only other game I played this last week has been Ultra Street Fighter 4. Which I'd noticed was available as an add-on for the arcade edition.
Just in time for arcade edition being free on Games for Gold.
Yes, I actually got it on the PS3. I have to say, I mean, I haven't played a lot of Street Fighter 4 recently.
It has been a while.
And I'm by no means an expert at the game. So, like I said to Matthew earlier, I won't really appreciate all the balancing they've done within the game, how they've changed certain characters. From the first glance, what would seem to be the case in this game is they've added a lot of characters who are in Street Fighter Cross Tekken, and added a few levels which are all featured in that game.
Wasn't there only four new characters?
There's Elena. There is the Cammy type character.
Yeah.
There is Rolento.
Poison
Hugo as well.
Oh, right. Okay. Maybe there are a few more characters then.
So you get quite a lot of characters. It costs, I think, £11.99 British pounds.
Though. Yes.
So fair enough. Fair enough, I guess. I don't feel cheated necessarily because you are adding a lot more characters to the game, which gives you a lot more choice. And it should bring a bit of new life back in the game. I'll definitely be playing more Street Fighter 4 now.
Surely this just feels like a stopgap, though. But, I mean, we can't really complain.
Really does. It doesn't feel like it was necessary to me. Maybe to more hardcore gamers, it was a necessary upgrade.
Yeah.
That the game had maybe become unbalanced.
Well, I guess at tournament level, I mean, there must be characters that are probably tournament banned that people probably are very good at, like God-class characters, like I know Sagat was when the first Street Fighter 4 was released, where Sagat was totally overpowered compared to everyone else.
If I remember correctly, there was an option to face different versions against each other.
Yes.
So the version of Sagat, for example, that was in original Street Fighter 4 is playable.
Yes.
Yeah, so you can have these epic matchups between unbalanced characters.
Yeah.
If you want to.
Which I guess makes it a bit more fun if you're into the...
If you're really into it, I guess. But I never got really, really into Street Fighter 4, I have to say.
I liked
it. As good as it is.
I could never find enough friends who were willing to dedicate the time to it, though, to get good at it. So I didn't really bother. I played a bit of it and I learned a few of like how to pull off the ultra combos and stuff with Zangief, but nothing more than that.
Mm. I still think if I had a choice, I'd rather play Street Fighter 3. I have more, more affection.
I think a lot of people would agree with you.
Yeah, and why? I'm not sure. Maybe it was the leap from 2D sprites to 3D characters, which isn't as appealing for me, perhaps. But then it was done very well.
Did you have it on the Dreamcast?
Yes, Street Fighter 3, yeah.
Okay, I only became familiar with the game later on when they released the Anniversary Collection for the Xbox.
Yeah.
And I only played it once or twice then because all my friends had kind of stopped playing Street Fighter, so I didn't really get a chance to play it. Which is a shame. I hear it's a very, very good game.
Indeed it is. But Ultra Street Fighter 4, let's give it some more time.
Yeah.
See if we have anything more to say about that game.
We can give it a go. We got some arcade sticks.
We have.
Let's have a waggle.
Have a waggle. Waggle with you, Matthew.
Will you waggle with me?
I will.
Will you waggle with Bashir? That's an obscure film reference.
If he wants to play as well, we shall waggle.
Yay. Last but not least, I played a bit of Watchy Dogs.
Yes, I watched you play a bit of Watchy Dogs.
I'm kind of on board with it.
You're on board with it.
I accept it more than I did. I think that first hour is very confusing and makes the game seem a lot more complicated than it is. Uh-huh. I will say that it is completely overhyped. I do not think it is the next generation experience of video game that everyone was hoping or thought it would be. But nonetheless, it is playable. The plot is okay. It's not going to set the world alight. It's kind of like, you betrayed me. Oh, God. Oh, well, I'll do this thing for you now in a GTA-style, mission-based, but obviously there isn't multiple characters and missions to go between. There's a lot of side stuff to do, like you can play poker and steal cars and stop mafia people escorting criminals places. It's kind of got the good and bad meter from something like Infamous Second Son, which this game reminds me a lot of Infamous. It has got a GTA vibe to it as well, obviously, in that comparison.
Very much. If you just watch someone messing around on the game in some of the vehicles or roaming around the sandbox world, it does appear to be GTA.
And it's got really kooky, like, Saints Row 4 style things where, you could take digital trips and then you do a psychedelic bounce on flowers.
Which was very similar to what you could do in GTA 5, where you could take a drug, for instance, and you'd have a really tripped out moment. I remember one where I had to shoot loads of aliens. It just appeared. Maybe that I imagine that took a cue from Saints Row for being wacky. But it's not particularly original, but it's quite fun to see it in there.
Yeah, but it's not very well done, I don't think. The load times in the game are a bit infuriating at points. But I still want to play it.
Yeah.
I guess it's because I spent so much money on it, and my pounds these days, much like you would tell a child, you can't buy that, John. That's 400 sweets. And the child will go like, what? At the idea of a game being 400 sweets. But I'm kind of like, sweets. Matthew,
I like this new currency you've
that's
invented.
75 Game Boy games. So I'm like, what?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
But it's enjoyable. It's not a bad game, I would say.
Oh, no.
It can be infuriating at points. Like I was telling Tom, there was a time where I had to escape a load of people who I'd broken away from, and I jumped under a bridge and I swam, and there's no way in hell the people would have seen me swim under the bridge from where they were, because they were in a top base and stuff. And they called for reinforcements, even though I was well out of the area, and then the reinforcements parked on top of the bridge where I was, so I couldn't swim out from under the bridge because they would have shot me. It's a bit of a pain in the ass. Yes, bit annoying. Like I said, the dubious morality choice thing the game has is a bit annoying as well.
Yeah, I loved how you could steal money from people and not suffer any repercussions for it. Yeah, if you stole a car, there were issues.
Yeah, people could ring the police.
Yeah.
And then, do you know how you stop them ringing the police? You get out of the phone and you knock the phone out of their hand and you go, no. And then they don't ring the police anymore.
No, don't do that.
Yeah. Oh, there's obviously like gadgets and stuff, like you can build things in the game that can help you out. Like you can press R1, which jams radios and stuff so people can't call for reinforcements.
Oh, this is very interesting.
It is like the skill tree thing in the game as well, where you can kind of customize Aiden Pierce, which is the most boring name of any main character ever.
He's kind of cookie cutter, isn't he? His appearance, at least.
Yes, I have him in dashing blue and cream coat at the moment because it was the most vibrant thing I could find for him.
Two selections, didn't you? You had that.
Well, I went to a shop and there were lots of costumes. Oh. However, all of them are essentially just recolors of his one costume.
Hmm.
I hear there's a DLC you can get where he will be dressed like a 1960s gangster.
Oh.
So he'll have a very dapper coat and a hat on. But, yeah, that's the only thing, apparently. Like, he just very cookie cutter.
Something that made me laugh was what you said about Ubisoft had delayed the game because they needed to make it more fun.
Yeah, they didn't believe it was a very fun game for all reports at the time. That's why it was delayed. It's because they didn't think players would have fun playing it. And I could kind of see why if they hadn't have added some of these crazy things like the Bitcoin collecting minigame thing where you suddenly skulls and coins appear on the map and you have to run and collect them like an arcade experience is kind of fun. Kind of reminds me a little bit of the club.
Yeah.
That kind of real-world environment with an arcade feel over the top a bit.
The club. Nice to get that reference in there.
Yeah.
Pretty good game, actually.
I really enjoyed it when I played the demo. I never picked it up.
Bizarre Creations.
Bizarre Creations, yes.
Yeah.
They will be
great
missed.
Developer. No more Project Gotham. Very sad.
No more Geometry Wars. But then again, I don't really need it. I got first Geometry Wars.
Yeah.
I'd just be happy if they ported that to every other console now.
Yeah.
I digress. The morality system's really messed up. You can hack people, steal cars, that's a problem. Killing people, that's kind of a problem. Walking around with a gun, that's also a problem. People get freaked out by that, and then you lower in morality. But the morality system, all it really seems to do is, if you stop a lot of people doing crimes, your reputation goes on the good side, which is always blue, and the bad side, which is red.
Yeah.
And then people are less likely to ring the police. That's the only perk I can see of it. And people go like, hey, that's that guy off the TV! Like they do in Infamous and every other game, which is annoying, so I would prefer them not to do that.
Are you fed up of third-person action adventures?
In an open-world environment.
In an open-world environment.
Offer nothing, and I can press one button to do everything. Yes, I am.
Yeah. You spent a lot of time with the Infamous, didn't you? And
I did.
Now this.
I would say I preferred Infamous, I think. The powers in that and the combat was a bit more fun, whereas this is just your stereotypical, hey, let's shoot things.
I can't get over the fact it looks like it's taken the mould of Assassin's Creed and the way the character moves and such, and just applied it to a new scenario and added a layer of new game elements on top of that.
But yeah, not as
essentially,
fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of got like the climbing kind of thing. Like, obviously, you can't do like an Ezio Auditorio and climb a gigantic building and have a steep
thing. No, because you're not that character, are you?
Yeah, but they've taken out like the, hey, you can trick your way up to the top of this building and then you will unlock the things around you in the area. And the fast travel in the game is okay as well, but I don't know. I'd wait until it's cheap if I were you people.
And maybe the inevitable Watch Dogs 2 may improve on this basic concept.
Hopefully, now the foundation's there, hopefully they'll realise that follow missions are not fun. Uh-huh. Nobody likes follow missions. Stop making follow missions. There's also a lot of takedown missions in this game.
Yeah.
Which involve you driving after a car and then taking that car out before it can reach a point. Yet all you can really do is ram it off the road. Mm. Like, you have no option of firing weapons when you're in a car, so you're just going to keep ramming a car through traffic, which is not fun. Like, you can use the hacks, but then all it will do is, like, you know, you can make traffic lights crash into that car for you, like, make other cars go through the traffic lights. It's just boring.
Yeah.
Like, I can see why it would have not been fun if there were more of those missions in there rather than the, hey, let's shoot a load of things missions.
I mean, GTA really has pushed the envelope in these kind of open world sandbox games, hasn't it? And it's going to be difficult for any other developer to make a game that's on the same level as GTA.
No, I agree. And I mean, GTA does have depth to it and has humour and has a sense of awareness about what it is. Watch Dogs is a very serious game that tries to be very serious, but it's very skin deep. Like, even the, like, everything you can do in the game, like, obviously in GTA you can go around, you can get a load of collectibles and you can do all these crazy jump things, and there's lots of reasons to play the games for hours and hours and hours. But, like, there's 13 tower things in this whole game that you can trick, which seems to be the most fun thing, and working out how you open these doors. And then there's a few pickup things, and yeah, it just doesn't really seem that much to do there other than the main story.
It's funny looking at it, watching you play it, you could see elements of so many games that have come before it. I saw something which reminded me very much of Batman Arkham City.
Yes.
Kind of, you were using your kind of detective vision to track a power cable round a corner to work out where to switch a mechanism to open a door.
Yes.
Which I've seen before. In fact, a lot of the things in Watch Dogs I have sort of seen before.
Yes, agreed. They're not as blatant as something like the first Lord of Shadows game. When I played Castlevania Lord of Shadows for the first time, I was like, you've lifted this mechanic directly out of Prince of Persia. You've directed this out of... It's just very... They seem very clear points where they've gone, oh, the Assassin's Creed's doing well, let's have a climbing mechanic. And things like that. And like, oh, quick time action events, because everyone loves those.
I think it's just more funny than anything to see these things now become the norm. Not saying the Watch Dogs doesn't do anything differently. It at least tries to, doesn't it?
I don't know. I'll be totally honest with you.
I can't say, because I've not really...
It seems very cookie cutter an experience. Okay. It's got some nice things like the hacking mechanic and the fact that you can kind of blow up a pipe to stop an assailant running away, or raise a bit of the floor for cover that would be a ramp and this kind of stuff. And use, but it's just pressing square. At the end of the day, it's all still pressing square. It's just a quicker way of physics puzzles and stuff that would be in something like Arclight. Instead of having to figure out how to get the box across a place, now you have to stand on it and press square. It's like very dumbed down puzzles. Nothing's really that complicated.
So I guess what people want to know, is it worth buying?
I'm not really selling it, I'll be honest. No. I don't think it is the best game I've played for a long while. And in light of things like GTA 5, which I'm sure we will see announced for the PS4 and Xbox 360, Xbox One, sorry, very soon.
Xbox 360. Forgot about the Xbox One for a second.
Yeah, I had. I guess I would hold off. If I'm being totally honest.
Until it's a bit more affordable.
Yes. But it's keeping me playing. It's not a terrible game by any means. It's just nothing really great and new and exciting there for me, at least.
Okay.
But it is fun.
Watch Dogs.
News!
Oh.
Yes.
That came out of the blue.
Some gaming news, Thomas. Of course, E3 is around the corner. There have been a lot of very exciting video game announcements last week.
I'm prepared to be disappointed.
Well, you know, if they've been saying these things now.
Yeah, you expect so much from E3. I have done previous years, and really, there's not been that much that's made me... Because there's so many new things announced all the time.
There
like
is.
You say, and just in the last week or so, at least I've noticed Sony subscribing to the YouTube channel, they've unveiled a lot of new trailers and such. There's such a lot of cats out of the bag already.
Night in the Woods 4, to talk about actual cats out of the bag, because that came starting.
Yeah, you see?
Yeah. Fortunately, I backed that on Kickstarter, so I can now make my PC copy, which I wouldn't have been able to play probably, into a PS4 copy, so that worked out well for me. There was loads of things, like obviously the new and tasty was given a new trailer. There's a new Homefront coming, which looks like Crysis and is developed by Crytek UK, which is Free Radical. So there may be some fun in that
game. Yeah, there may be. The trailer didn't really sell it, though.
No, it did just look like Crysis, but without the big armor suit.
That's kind of boring.
Yeah. But there's been lots of stuff. We won't really talk about them in this one because we're going to do an E3 podcast.
Oh, well, of course it goes without saying, really, doesn't it?
Yes.
There's going to be a lot of news coming up over the next few days.
But we'll talk about that later. A segue off of the E3 thing is that actually Iwata will not be at E3 this year.
The face of Nintendo. The voice of Nintendo.
But obviously, Nintendo are not doing a press conference from E3, so I assume he will be in the Nintendo Direct, because they've said that even though doctors have advised him not to fly because of health concerns and stuff, Nintendo hasn't revealed why this is.
Yes, we don't know.
But apparently it's business as usual and he's still head of Nintendo, yada yada. So I assume he'll be in the Nintendo
Direct. He's not terminally ill.
No, fortunately. A lot of speculation that it could be stress online. Obviously, he's received a pay cut and the Wii U isn't really doing that great. So people are saying maybe it's something stress related.
So we can maybe expect the next Nintendo Direct to be from Iwata's bedroom, tucked up under the sheets with his hot water bottle, perhaps.
Perhaps. Maybe they'll make light a bit. Maybe they'd be like, oh, God, I'm feeling ill. If only there was a way that someone could operate me. Oh, wait. Trauma Center Wii U!
very nice, Matthew.
And
of course.
Yeah, we were actually saying that Reggie maybe should do a Nintendo Direct.
I was just wondering why Reggie wasn't chosen to do Nintendo Directs.
I guess it's because it's a Japanese company. They just film it once and then it's done.
But he does it in English, I'm assuming. In Japan, he does the Nintendo Directs in Japanese.
Yeah, I guess he's just seen as the face of Nintendo. I don't know. Yeah. I guess maybe he just wanted to do them. Maybe
he did. Maybe it would be a bit best for Nintendo's image. To not confuse by having several different faces representing Nintendo worldwide.
But they do.
But they do, don't they? Because Reggie is known to be the US representative of Nintendo.
Yeah.
Bah.
He's a president of Nintendo US, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if he appeared in more blinking videos, and maybe we know exactly what he does.
Very interesting thing today of Last Guardian. The new game by the
directors. Yes, I know.
Echo and Shadow of the Colossus.
I'm just surprised to hear about it.
A game long rumoured. Someone at Sony said, oh, that's cancelled in an interview.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised.
And then as soon as this hit the internet, because obviously Sony have said Last Guardian, we're still working on yada, yada, yada. Everyone wants to see that big talking giant dog thing, because Never-Ending Story was a long time ago and we've all forgotten about Falco. But apparently, then Sony came out and said, actually, no, that's a load of shit. It's still fine. Everything's going as business as usual. La, 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 la.
We'll show something.
Yes, hopefully there will be something at E3, perhaps. What's not going to be at E3, though, Thomas? Media Molecule have said they are not showing anything at E3, which makes me very, very sad.
Interesting, because they were promising some fun things for the PS4.
They were. Also, there will be no Final Fantasy 15 or Kingdom Hearts 3 from Squaresoft. That much is confirmed. Which is a bit sad, because I would have liked to see...
Especially for fans of the series, yeah.
Yeah, especially me. Makes me sad. But apparently, as far as we know, Last Guardian, not cancelled. Hopefully we'll see something this week. And then there has been a bundle pop-up on Amazon France for €579, which contains a PS4 with a PlayStation Vita. This was something...
I thought this already happened, actually. I didn't realise this was still...
It was apparently rumoured to have appeared on an Amazon, then it disappeared. Then I saw the box art of this one earlier, and it had Infamous on the screen of the PS4, so I think they're trying to sell it at the angle of, hey, you can remote play these games.
Hmm.
So maybe there'll be an announcement that that's going to be cheap. But the price it was listed at, like I said, was €579, which is, if you took the price of a PS4 and a Vita separately and put them together, is exactly, actually, it would be €578, so €1 cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine this is just an estimate price from Amazon. It's something that's going to be revealed tomorrow, and they just put it on as a placeholder price,
okay,
as they did with the Wii U, and that's how I got my Wii U cheap. Ha 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 ha. And then the last bit of news for this week is that Jason Holtman, formerly of Valve and Microsoft, is now head of platform at Oculus VR. Jason Holtman was a guy in charge of sales and marketing and all this kind of stuff at Valve in 2005, and then he left to join Microsoft in 2013. Looking at making Windows a gaming platform again, and apparently left the company after 6 months, and now we know why. It's because he's going to work at Oculus. So should be very interesting to see what comes of that. And that's it with the news. Thomas, what's up for the week ahead?
Ah, week ahead. What do we got? We got a game called Enemy Front that's being released on PS3, PC, and Xbox 360, but not the next-gen formats.
No.
Do you cry? No.
No.
Enemy Front looks like a World War II-based shooter.
Based in realism, rather story-driven. I don't know if it'll be any good.
Who knows? The trailer features a lot of slow motion bullets.
It does. A lot of gore as well. A lot of Nazis.
Maybe in a similar way to Soldier of Fortune, perhaps.
Perhaps.
If you remember that game.
Maybe kind of looked kind of a bit towards Wolfenstein.
Oh, riding on the coattails of the recent Wolfenstein New Order phenomenon.
Perhaps.
Which I haven't played since last week.
Oh, Thomas.
Really get back on that.
You should.
Inazuma, is that how you pronounce it?
Inazuma 11,
Inazuma,
yes.
11, Go Shadow and Light.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that is two versions of it, as they have been in previous Inazuma 11 titles. This is a level 5 football RPG.
Which has appeared in several iterations over the past few years, mostly for the DS.
The DS, the Wii, and the 3DS, I believe. Yeah.
No idea, never been bothered with it before.
Well, I'm not into football, otherwise I would have played it, because level 5 RPG is a winner in my books. Then when you mention the word football, and that means soccer for you Americans, I go, ugh.
Yeah.
Apparently,
so these games must be pretty popular for them to keep releasing.
Well, they're very, very big. Obviously, football is very big in Japan, as it is in Europe, so I would assume it's doing well over here. It's essentially, from what I gather, it's kind of like Pokemon, in that you gather a squad together and you level them. I'm not entirely sure if this is correct.
I mean, I can see the appeal, I guess, but what this new one brings to the table, God knows. And who cares?
Oh, that's not very nice. Poor level 5. They worked hard on that. You apologise, or I'll get it was in where 11's mum ran.
Sorry.
Actually, I'm very interested to see at the E3 if they announce the level 5 game that I've forgotten the name of. It's kind of like Pokemon with a magic watch. If that is coming to European and American shores.
I know the game you speak of. It's very popular.
God damn.
Japanese game.
Yes.
It's a bit like Pokemon.
Yes, I can't remember the name of it. I'm going to look it up while you announce the next game that's coming out and the final one.
I'm trying to read your writing again. I can't remember what it was.
Spin Tires for the PC.
Spin Tires for the PC.
Wowzers. What's that, Tom?
Racing game?
Yes. it's a racing game with an off-road experience, apparently, for the PC. Looked okay from what I saw of the...
Okay, but no console release on this one.
No console release. Maybe it'll come further down the line. Level 5 Pokemon Watch game is what I'm typing into Google. What will come up of this, Tom? What will come up? Yokai Watch. That's the one. Thank you very much, Kotaku.
Of course.
So Yokai Watch, I hope that'll be announced. And just to quickly tap it off, Thomas, we are going to do an E3 podcast this week. I imagine it'll probably go up by probably Tuesday night, maybe, if we can put it up. If not, I'll post it on Wednesday. We'll record it on Tuesday after Nintendo's conference on the Tuesday. A rundown of the people involved in the E3 conferences that are getting streamed at 9 a.m. Pacific time tomorrow, which is around 3 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken, for us in Europe, and 2 p.m. for the Brits. It's Microsoft. Then we have EA at 11:30, Ubisoft at 2:30 p.m., and then Sony at 5:30, wrapping up the whole stream conference, and then Nintendo Direct is apparently going to be available at 8:30 a.m.
What are you most looking forward to, Matthew? What are you most looking forward to?
Nintendo. Yes.
Me too. But intrigued for everything else. I really would like to see what the other... It always feels a bit more corporate with the other ones, doesn't it?
Well, certainly EA. I mean, obviously Microsoft does. Sony kind of had an air of, oh, aren't we beautiful last year?
Yeah.
Which was kind of nice. You know, maybe they'll ride on the coattails of last year's show this goodwill they've earned.
I'm not sure if I'm totally into Sony's really clinical, boring image. I know they just changed the shop on the PS3 to match that of the shop on the PS4. And this new thing they've got also featuring in their game trailers now, this kind of blue background with the floating symbols of triangles.
Oh, really? You're not on board with their branding?
And I think their branding is really, really dull. What do you think, Matthew?
I don't agree. I think their branding is two people who know nothing about video games, especially, is very modern from the offset. They're using a very nice sans serif typography and a bold face for most of their promotional stuff.
That blue, though,
that
I don't like
blue. That blue is very calming as a colour. It kind of promotes an air of confidence to consumers. It's very clinical, as you say. It is very corporate. It is this very kind of...
I think they need to get David Lynch back on board, do adverts for him.
No,
that
don't.
That would make him more interesting.
They really don't. What I kind of wish they would do is, obviously, they're kind of taking a lot of social media cues and a lot of the blogs and this kind of stuff and actually embracing their community, which seems to be working very well for them.
Well, that's a good thing, but I just think it looks dull to me.
I think they're going more for timeless, though. Obviously, like, if you think of the PS3, its navigation system, I totally don't agree that the navigation system on the PS4 is perhaps better. If anything, I would say that the PS3's navigation system and where everything is sorted, etc., is probably a little bit more accessible.
I think someone so, from my experience.
Like me, who plays a lot of games, that PS4 line is very long. I wish they'd do a 3DS thing where I could have my tiles split up around the screen, because I really don't need all of that negative space around the bottom of the navigation. I wish I could just pop into games and navigate and say, oh, there's the tile for Watch Dogs. Click Watch Dogs.
It's a bit of that blue void.
Yes, there is a bit of a blue void. I kind of see what you're saying there. But if you think of the PS3, while it is totally functional in its navigation, it does feel very 2000. It does feel very... This is a mini disc player. It is all kind of in a line with drop down menus and stuff, whereas they've kind of gone for a more modern, contemporary feel with the navigation of the PS4, which I don't necessarily think they've cracked. I would assume that the Xbox One's is more like Windows 8, which kind of has the same kind of idea of very solid colours with sans serif
typography.
It's
more colourful, though, isn't it, the Xbox One?
Yes, it does colour-code things, as opposed to just the blue.
I don't know
PS4.
How good it is for navigating. I've heard some negative things about that.
I've heard very positive things about navigating with the Kinect and voice commands. But I don't know how much of that kind of transfers to navigating it with the controller, which I'd probably be more inclined to do.
I have to say, I have no problems with the Wii U's navigation.
No, the Wii U does have okay navigation. I wish kind of that kind of thing, that's what I'm saying, that kind of tiled thing where all of the things are there,
like,
and I can just click on what I want, and then maybe that would be better. I obviously see that Sony's tried to do something new with the navigation, though, and they've kind of, once you hover over something, obviously that blue void, as you called it, which is not that unfair, is then filled, obviously, by what your friends are doing in this social experience aspect of the PS4 and saying, like, oh, yeah, Adam has unlocked this. And obviously it gives you trailers and says, hey, this is the latest patch for this and this is the latest downloadable content if you want to expand your gaming experience. It does all this kind of stuff. And then caters the console's menu more towards the games themselves. However, it is a bit of a pain in the ass to navigate when you want to get a game that you haven't played in a while, and then it's at the very, very end of a very, very long line, as well as including apps like the editing app that is in the latest firmware update 1.7 for gameplay footage and things. You have to skip past loads of these things, and like I said, I've bought a load of the indie games and stuff they release, so I have a very long line. It's a bit of a pain. Wow, that went off on a tangent. But we will be doing some
It needed
E3.
To be addressed, though, it Matthew. Did. That was an important
thing. I went all graphic designer then. I went all professional. That was my professional tone, talking about graphic design and branding and all of that dirty, dirty work that I'm actually trained to do. I'm going to update you guys on Twitter and Facebook, which is facebook.com/TomOnMattAttack and Twitter at TMAcast. As to when we will be releasing this E3 podcast, I figure we can get it out of the way, kind of just talk about the news in almost bullet point like fashion, where we can say, oh, this happened, this happened, this happened, what do you think about this? And then on Sunday we can have a regular podcast and we can kind of talk about our favourite bits and what we're most excited about once we've had time to process it, as well as obviously what we've been buying and playing as per usual. So yeah, I guess that brings us to the end of the podcast.
Any competition news this week?
Any competition news? Yes, we still have the amazing, amazing t-shirt from Adam at Games World Bob.
Like it's become the amazing, amazing t-shirt.
Pixel tees. I can't say fantastic
have you,
anymore.
Have you shown the t-shirt?
No, I am going to post it on our Twitter this week. That's I'm going to give it away by Sunday.
Okay.
I made the decision it was supposed to be given away by the end of last month, but I haven't had a chance to do it yet. Mainly because the i2 review thing wasn't really that successful as I hoped. Like I've said on previous podcasts, we've not really got that many iTunes reviews, or at least they're not publishing very fast. Like one or two have sprung up in the past week or so, and we thank you for that. Paul as well, amazing thanks to you, mate, for spreading the word every week and kind of doing a follow Friday and saying to rate us of Retro Asylum Podcast. Thank
thanks,
you very
Paul.
Much. And keep doing the good work, I guess. And yeah, to everyone else out there, if you want to rate and subscribe, that would be great. It does let us know you're listening. Obviously we can see some numbers, but they fluctuate up and down with downloads and stuff, and it doesn't really give a clear picture, as opposed to a good review on iTunes or even a negative one. At least we know people are listening, which is what keeps us doing the podcast and for you wonderful people.
Do let us know if you want more interviews as well.
Yes, we have a few lined up. If that is what you would prefer, maybe we can even get it so it's on a monthly basis or bi-monthly or whatever.
We don't want to promise too much, but yeah.
But we have had interesting parties crawl out of the woodwork since we've talked about this, and some that were on before have now reiterated that they want to be on, which is nice. But with the t-shirt, I think I'll even put it down to a Twitter-related thing of sharing this latest podcast. I think that's what I'll do.
Okay.
Once I upload this podcast, and if you can put it up on our sister site of blastprocess.com, then I will share it and I will say, whoever shares this, by the end of the week, we will pick someone at random to do these things. And I'm going to leave the Xbox and the PSN points for now, I think. I'm going to do them in a later contest. But, yeah, I shall give away this awesome t-shirt. Thank you very much again, Adam, and the folks at Pixel Pixel Tees for donating it to us. And, yeah, so that you can share that podcast on facebook.com/TomOnMattAttack. You can share it on our Twitter, or at least tag us in the post, at TMAcast when you share it. And like I said, if you want to rate us and subscribe on iTunes, or if you already have, send us a screen grab and we'll include you in the prize for this t-shirt, which is awesome.
Woohoo!
Yeah, until next week, guys. It's been good night from me and good night from him. Game on.
Game on.